I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Book of Joe podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. Hey there, welcome back to another edition of the Book of Joe podcast with me, Tom Verducci, and my good buddy, Joe Madden. Joe, we got a treat today. I know you're looking forward to this as much as I am.
I have been. Good morning, Tom, and good morning, Anthony. We've been trying to get this guy on. He's been down in Mexico just hanging out, vacationing a bit. He's like a man of the world, so it's very difficult to nail Anthony down. Plus, he's been signing big contracts, et cetera. But we're really pleased to have Anthony Rizzo on with us today. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, fellas. How are you guys doing?
We're awesome, man. You know, we've spent a lot of time on this podcast, Anthony, talking about what we call glue guys. And Joe, I can only imagine what it was like for you, not just to pencil Anthony's name into the lineup every day, but to know that he was taking care of things in the clubhouse and in the dugout. So let's start with that.
Yeah, it was kind of a special, relationship. I've been doing this for a bit, and I've had a lot of wonderful players that are both very good baseball players and good people. But with Anthony and I felt like you just suggested very strongly about conversations with him and then the influence that he had within the group. He had a pretty good run there for several years, and it was, a very tightly knit group as a whole. And of course, having his influence in the clubhouse was outstanding. But again, it's like it was different because, you know, we come from the same part of the world, actually. His parents are from New Jersey, and it was very easy for me to kind of associate mentally with Anthony and where he was from and how he grew up, et cetera. So it was an easy conversation the whole time. Whether it was about just anything in general, about his foundation or mine, Anthony, I really enjoyed our time together. I would love for it to happen again. But again, I really I wanted you to be on this particular show because of what Tom just described, because I saw you as that kind of guy, and you were such a big part of us winning it all, including catching the last out of the game that I thought was going to sail over your head but hit you right in the face.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I feel like our time together, Joe, is amazing. From the second it was announced that you were coming to the Cubs, I feel like that really turned the attitude of the organization around. And then next thing you know, we have John Lester signing there and bringing in guys to really try to win.
And it also included the trip to AVA. When I first signed on, I had Anthony come up to Tampa. We had some great meatballs and pasta at AVA. I knew that was near and dear to his heart. It was the best way to to capture him immediately and have him become an ally. So he had a wonderful night at Ava too, and something that I always remember also.
Yeah, so the way to a first baseman's heart is through the stomach, huh, Anthony?
A couple of years ago was he's really slimmed down over the last couple of years. Man, when I see you on TV right now, I hardly recognize you.
I love that. That's the highest compliment you can give me.
Yeah, I mean, is it an eating program? Is it exercise, a combination? You look good, man.
Yeah, it's just being more aware of what I'm putting in there, the times I'm putting it in the body, and just eliminating more of the late night eating, which really paid off for me just energy wise going forward throughout the season.
Well, stay right there, brother, because it looks good.
Thank you.
Really good.
Yeah, Anthony, I'm really curious in terms of leadership and being a glue guy, how much of it is nature, how much of it is nurture? There has to be some combination of both. So why don't you explain to us where your leadership skills came from? And maybe it predates professional baseball, some of the influences on you.
That's a great question. I think just naturally being myself, you know, in the respectful way. When I was very young and in San Diego, for the short year, it was just, you learned a lot about, you know, the game and being a rookie and just questioning, like, I don't understand, I'm here to try to win. But then you got the old school way of just kind of belittling people still. So that was part of the game. And then coming to the Cubs, and immediately I remember Ryan Dempster pulling me aside, I think the first day we were there. He's like, hey, we stink, but you're here to help us win. You be you. If anyone gives you any problems, let me know, but you're here. And made me feel welcome with open arms. And then you have Alfonso Soriano doing the same thing, Starlin Castro, Reed Johnson, Jeff Baker. So all the guys when I first got called up in Chicago were just welcoming with open arms. So I always said to myself, I'll always welcome guys with open arms and never really, you know, that old school ribbing hard that you hear just story after story of. I'm like, man, that's crazy, because we're trying to win a ball game here. And I understand we're trying to toughen them up, but we're also trying to get the best we can. And that's why, Joe, when you came over and you said right away, that stuck with me, is I'm not going to really start talking to guys and criticizing their baseball game until I get to know them and have a conversation with them. And then once you build a relationship and a friendship with someone, then when you go and say, hey, you know, what do you think about this, or I'm seeing this, guys are really open to receiving it more and more than just if you come at them and attack them.
100%. I mean, let me ask you this too, in regards to all of that. At what point do you think, because it was San Diego and Boston, right, before you got to the Cubs? And
yep.
When you got there, at what point in your career do you think, it could have been in the minor leagues, it could have been early on in the big leagues, I don't know, but the level three kind of situation where you really felt, I belong here, I can do this? Because to me, until you arrive at that point, not only you, any of us arrive at that point where I belong here, I can do this, you really feel that and believe it. That's the point that you really can't take off in your career. Do you have any real recollection of when you really felt you belonged in the big leagues?
Yeah, I did. So I got called up in 2011 and I was awful. And I remember getting the call from Theo that they were trading for me to Chicago, and I was ecstatic. I'm just more of a East Coast, you know, I'm not the biggest West Coast guy. Actually, I've grown to love the West Coast now later on in my career, but early on, it's far away from home. So then spring training 2012, they told me right away I was going to start in AAA, so there was no disappointment not making the team. I had a good spring, but I knew I was going to start in AAA, which actually I thought was the best thing for me. Kind of made a pretty big swing adjustment. So going to AAA, I was doing really well, basically kind of counting down the days once that Super 2 cutoff hit / free agent cutoff. Kind of knew right around that time period when you were getting called up. Although, of course, the teams will never admit that. But
right.
So I get called up. It was versus the Mets, but it was a day later because Johan Santana was pitching and they wanted me to make my debut off a righty, not a lefty. I was like, okay, fine. But the next week or 10 days later, we were at the Mets playing at their place, and Johan Santana was on the mound, and I think I ended up getting three or four hits off of him. Four hits in the game, three hits off of him. One ended up being a homer, and that was like, I felt like, all right, I can do this now. Like, I know I can be here, because they were saying, we don't want to bring him up versus Johan. We don't want him to face the lefty. And then, you know, 10 days, 2 weeks later, facing him at Citi Field in front of a lot of family for the first time. That was one of my big moments.
That's outstanding. Good, Tommy.
I love that story. I always think of you too, Anthony, as a guy who's obviously not afraid to stand on top of the dish and almost invite pitchers to come inside. You take that outside pitch and make it seem like it's down the middle. I'm not sure how long you've been doing that, Anthony, but why don't you just walk us through, maybe that was part of your comfort level in the big leagues, when you got to that point where this is the way I want to hit, right on top of the dish.
Yeah, 2014, Eric Hinsky was our first base coach, I believe, and he was freshly removed out of the game. And we would talk all the time about just approach. Even though he's the first base coach, we would just, he'd be like, hey, what were you thinking there? I was able to relate to him so well, him being left-handed. And he's the one who talked to me about moving up on the plate. And with lefties, especially, to make them uncomfortable, and it feel like it does. I feel like they have nowhere to miss. So I was struggling off lefties. I struggled off lefties big time in 2013. And just that angle, I see the ball so much better. And throughout the years, I've backed off. It's kind of a cat and mouse game at this point, but just depending on the pitcher and what their features are. But yeah, it's just one of those things where you got to stay in there and be fearless. I know I'm going to get hit a lot. But that's part of my game, really, at this point. There's no denying it.
And no armor, Joe. He doesn't wear any armor there.
No, there's no body. He used to have more. Now he has less, like I said at the beginning of the show. Let me ask you this, too, about Ski, because I had Ski, Hinsky. I had Ski in Tampa Bay. And he had the same kind of influence on a lot of the young hitters there, too. And I don't even – is Ski in the game right now, Anthony, or is he out right now? Do you have any idea?
I don't believe he is. I talk to him every year. I love him, but no, I don't think he is.
Yeah, I don't want to get off track, but I just want to just give him a plug here too, because I've been around him several times, and here's a guy that I don't know that, he's not an analytical maven, so he's not going to sit there and pour over reports constantly, but those are the kind of conversations that have a huge impact on a young player, young hitter. It's this kind of stuff. It's approach. It's the mental approach. It is an adjustment, moving a little bit closer to the play with your back foot, and all of a sudden, like Anthony's saying, he saw the ball better and he felt more confident in that spot. I could do more things from this position. And those are the kind of thoughts from a coach that I think are really not spoken about enough, or very underrated in the larger sense. So this is just a plug for Ski. I hope that he gets another job somewhere, because I feel the same way. Listen, he's a lot of fun too, man. Ski's life. You don't want to know the answer, don't ask the question, man. He's one of those guys. He is straight up. But he had a great influence on the Tampa Bay Rays going to the World Series in 2008 also.
For an approach-wise, too, just talking the game, and this is an example of the game being passed down from generation to generation.
Right.
Carlos Delgado used to tell him when he was on the Blue Jays, hey, I 1-0 auto take all the time. And for probably 5 years, my percentage of swinging at a 1-0 pitch was very low because of the benefits that it was at that time in my career of just not swinging at all 1-0. And that was what Ski taught me.
I would wait for you to ambush the first guy this year on the 1-0 count. I'll be watching very closely.
Oh, well, the best is like the Orioles, you know, guys I've played against. Hyder knows it. Hyder will yell at me from the dugout. He goes, nice auto take. now it's, you know, I got to take my shots on the 1-0 count.
You got to do it, man. But you're setting him up very nicely. I like it.
Yeah, you guys had an amazing staff in Chicago. There's no doubt you win a championship. It's a team effort, not just 26 guys, but coaches, managers, front office. And that was the epitome of teamwork in 2016. So, yes, we're going to take a quick break, and we will talk to Anthony Rizzo about maybe a little bit about 2016 and about the New York Yankees. Be right back.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize just how much their negative thoughts and experiences stick with them and weigh them down. You may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings. That frustrating thing your mom does. Or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapist anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Book of Joe today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Book of Joe.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Book of Joe podcast. We are pleased to be joined by Anthony Rizzo. And Anthony, I mean, I don't know if it's as obvious as that last out of Game 7, but I'm sure not too many days go by when somebody mentions to you the 2016 championship team. What kind of first floats to your mind when you think about that year?
I think just how much fun it was from start to finish. We go back to 15 and getting swept in the NLCS, and at that time, we were convinced we were going to win the World Series in 2015, and we just ran into the gauntlet of the Mets that year, and their pitching staff and Daniel Murphy destroyed us. So getting into spring training, we were just so confident that the championship was ours to lose, and we really carried ourselves like that every single day, no matter what. And I think that showed throughout the year when we got off to a great start, but going through the year, how much fun everyone had in the dugout, how much fun everyone had in the clubhouse, how much fun everyone had off the field. It was just a really enjoyable environment to come to work to every day. And that is such a big benefit throughout the grind of a season.
I mean, I can't agree with them more, obviously. And again, these are the kind of things that don't get enough credit or spoken about enough, even right down to the fact we brought the Columbus Zoo into left field, had him in left field that for one afternoon pregame, and families came out, wives and kids came out with the players, and little things like that. And again, it's about the fun component. It's about the human component. It's not just about, we always talk about the grind, and it is that. I mean, people 162 games, man, and you're playing every night, it's a mental, even more than a physical challenge, it's a mental one. And if you just want to pile on the pressure or whatever you want to call it and not try to hit that release valve and let some of the steam off, it's just not going to work. I don't know that enough groups pay enough attention to things like that, whereas it's X's and O's. Absolutely, I'm a fundamentalist when it comes down to teaching the game. But beyond that, you have to really pay attention to where your players' heads are at, in a sense, and what are they feeling. You just through a conversation, watch them come in the door, watch them come back to the dugout after a tough at-bat or a tough outing on the mound. These are the things that I think make a big difference, and we did. We had an absolute blast that year. We had an absolute blast from the spring training, our morning meetings run by Tim Buss. And then it includes every day before a game at home and on the road. And then eventually you start winning and you start expecting to win on a daily basis because you're good. And I cannot agree more with Anthony regarding all of that.
Well, Anthony, that leads me to a question now with the New York Yankees, because you've seen what it takes, played a lot in the postseason, what it takes to get through a postseason. I understand that sometimes you do face a hot team, like you mentioned in 15 with the Mets. But when you look at this Yankees team that you're on, obviously you ran up against a tough Houston team last year. What is it going to take for this Yankees team to be another version of a team that finishes off like the 16 Cubs?
Yeah. What's it going to take? That's the golden question, right? And
yeah,
throughout the run from 15, 16, really my whole career, just what it takes to win, how hard it is to win. So when you do go back to that team that has won, how much went your way and how special that group was. And you see that with Houston. You know, everyone hates Houston. They get all the boos on the road, all the you cheated scandal, and they just wear it. And it seems like that pulls them together from afar and brings them together in their own way. And I think that's what ultimately it takes to win the last game of the year, is coming together in a way that is unexplainable, because we had a great group last year and we came together so tight. And as the playoffs went on, we got closer and closer and we came up short, but we have the ingredients there. It's just about mixing it up the right way.
And actually wrote this down before we even started this conversation. I said that the Yankees were the perfect, you were the perfect fit for them. It's not so much that they were the perfect fit for you. I saw when you were sent to the Yankees, I immediately thought, this is the perfect guy. You're the perfect guy for that group. And not having been there, actually, we had that conversation earlier in the year when I was still with the Angels and I was out on the field talking to you. And then Aaron Judge came by, his first time I met him. But I could tell, and again, it was almost like you brought a little bit of what we had in the past, where there's like, again, the release valve in the clubhouse. You were able to help disarm some of the tension. And again, just from pictures and observation, and I read the New York Post only every day, your method with Aaron really helped him a lot this year. And if you're helping Aaron Judge, you're helping that entire organization. There's no question. So you were perfect for them when they were perfect for you. And that was something that, to me, that was obvious from the beginning.
Thank you. You know, Lester used to always say to me, and guys in general, right, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. And I used to say, well, I got some pretty good damn soil.
Right.
So I can go sprinkle some good soil wherever I go and make that grass a little greener. And I used to always joke about that. And then getting traded to New York and being in a clubhouse with, you know, a lot of guys that are similar age, with DJ LeMahieu, Judge, Stanton, Gleyber Torres, seeing him work every day. Brett Gardner, I go last year, loved Gardner. So being able to go there and just be with guys who want to win and in a very similar situation, just a little different structurally organization, but it was such an easy clubhouse to walk into and go and have fun and just be myself.
So Anthony, you re-signed there fairly quickly before this market went just crazy with inflation. Clearly, you love the fit there. Was that your goal when the season ended? Like, this is my priority to get back to the New York Yankees?
Yeah, I mean, I sat down with Emily, my wife, and we talked, and we really, really enjoyed our time in the city outside of Yankee Stadium, just being able to walk around and go to Central Park and just enjoy our mornings there, and then getting to play at Yankee Stadium every day with the team. with the guys, you know, we're going to have a chance every single year, year in and year out. And had some conversation with Judge, see what he was thinking, obviously. But yeah, the really just Emily and I decided we wanted to, our top priority was to stay in New York. And if that was an option early, we would jump on it as long as everything felt right. And it did. And we're pumped. We're happy to be there for the next 2-3 years. Hopefully longer, but take it 1 year, one day at a time.
So how hard were you recruiting Aaron Judge to stay there once you signed?
You know, I wasn't recruiting as hard as you would think. I just, Emily and I know him and Sam really well from last year and just getting closer. It was really, what's going to make you happy? Is it going to be A, B, C, or D? Is that here, there, or somewhere else? And just kind of being a more of a friend throughout the process instead of a teammate. Thinking that 0 hour when everything would hit the fan, I was a little bit worried, just like everyone else. But also, Sue saying, you got to do what makes you happy and what's going to be the ultimately best for you. And I did send him a couple pictures of our dogs together because we both have dachshunds, saying that we can't break them up. But no, it was just more encouraging of what's going to be best for you and Sam.
Well, playing in Chicago helped a lot of that transition for you too, didn't it, Anthony? I mean, I'm looking at the city, the fan base, tradition, the media attention, all those different things that you went through with Chicago. And even to a certain extent, even briefly in Boston, and even health-wise, the issues that you went through in the past and on a almost a daily basis, what you do with your family foundation, all those things I thought were possibly tied into this, the decision as to stay there, as well as hitting in Wrigley compared to hitting in Yankee Stadium are two different places too. So there had to be, I think, the preparation where you had been before and eventually getting traded to the Yankees and then playing there. There's got to be a lot of similarities that were very comfortable for you to work with.
Absolutely. I mean, I hit a few balls in April that are outs at Wrigley, and hands right. down, not even close. And people look at me there like I'm crazy. But I think, yeah, the market in Wrigley and being one of the main guys for the Cubs was really easy for me to transition to another major market. And to go in 2021 and just be able to sit back and just play was such a great feeling for me, because I didn't really have to deal with all the logistics that go on and the side conversations that go on in the clubhouse the second half of that season, because I was so new. So I was just kind of sat back, relaxed, and see how it went. And going into the 2022 offseason, 2021-22, I definitely wanted to sign back with the Yankees and try to make my mark more in the organization and just have fun and win here. I mean, I think winning with the Cubs was amazing. The drought, and it's the ultimate championship. And now I can't think of another place I'd rather win than here in New York. With the passion of fan base, you know what you're going to get from them. If you suck, they're going to boo you. It's part of it. If you do well, they love you. And that's kind of the game of baseball in general. And when you're doing well, everyone loves you. When you don't do well, you really test the people around you a lot.
It's a perfect fit, the pinstripes and Anthony Rizzo. And that includes the ballpark, by the way. Of course, you mentioned this, Anthony. And highest launch angle of your career, highest pull percentage. You get rewarded for hitting that ball as a left-handed hitter. But I got to ask you now, next year, no shifts, Anthony. I mean, I went back and I looked at this in 2016 when you hit a line drive or a ground ball to the pole side. The batting average on balls in play was .342. Same thing last year with all those shifts. It was .232. So, I mean, how much are you looking forward to the game next year, either offensively and defensively, without shifts?
I really am looking forward to it. I mean, as every lefty is, I've been saying this for a while. It's been a right-handed hitter's game for a while, just because of the way that they get shifted. If they hit a ball, little lazy ground ball between the third baseman and the shortstop, they have a really good chance of being able to beat that out, where we're just putting our heads down and running back to the dugout. So we'll see. I know these people in the front office, the analytics, are going to have their own ways of moving the outfielders and whatnot, but even that will be beneficial than hitting, I think I had like almost 100 plate appearances this year with four outfielders. So yeah, it'll definitely be beneficial for all lefties, in my opinion.
Joe, I know you're looking forward to that, where the game resembles more like it did, say, in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah, listen, I was at the forefront of bringing the shift back, I think, in the 90s. And Anthony, truth be told, it started with Ken Griffey Jr. I was in Anaheim, and I was going through my information before the game, and I walked in to see Terry Collins, who happened to be talking to Sparky Anderson at the time, and I asked, look at all this stuff. Would you mind if I put one of the infielders, three guys on the right side against Griffey? And TC says, go ahead, I don't care. So I went out there that night, and we did that. And the first at bat, here comes Griffey up to the plate. He looks right in the dugout, and he does attempt to bunt, and it goes foul. And Tommy, the result of that at bat was a punch out his first at bat. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think he actually popped up the bunt. I think he was out on the bunt attempt.
Yeah, so that's where it began. And I've always been a proponent of an organic shift with all of this, meaning that lefties learn how to hit the ball the other, which you do, Anthony. You do that as well as anybody. I mean, your ability to move the ball the other side, especially with two strikes, is superior to a lot of lefty hitters with power. But it is what it is right now. I just, again, like I said, I like to see players organically shift to make adjustments more than having things legislated, because I'm always anti-legislation if it could be, if we can. So it's going to be curious to watch all this. Of course, your numbers are going to improve. Schwarber's numbers are going to improve. A lot of your lefties' numbers are going to improve. With all of that. And last point, I'm curious, the attempt by analytical people, how to circumvent this, how to get one more guy on that side. Do you start moving as the ball is pitched? But you can't be everywhere. There's definitely going to be a benefit to you guys this coming year. I'm happy for you. I really am. I'm happy for you guys. Although I was always wanting the minor leagues to be more held accountable, in a sense, to get young left-handed pull hitters to learn how to work the ball the other way, especially with two strikes.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I think the biggest adjustment for most of us in the big leagues is going to be the pitch clock, hitting-wise,
mm-hmm.
just because a lot of us have had our set hitting routines. You know, you get out of the box, you readjust your batting gloves,
mm-hmm.
to where you really noticed last year, especially towards the end of the year when you get a lot of the guys called up from AAA, guys are ready to go on the mound, and you're feeling rushed, so...
Yeah,
that this offseason will definitely be an adjustment I make, just
Agreed.
Making sure after a swing to get back up right away and kind of mentally reset a little quicker than you would in the past.
Looking forward to it. A quicker game. I think a more entertaining game. And we're going to take a quick break right here, and we get back. We're going to play one of our favorite games with Anthony Rizzo. Stick around.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Book of Joe podcast. And Anthony, in previous podcasts, we like to play a game we call a reading from the Book of Joe, where we think if you open any page in this book, the Book of Joe, with Joe Madden and Tom Verducci, you will find something really interesting. So we have our guests pick a number from 1 through 368. And randomly, we have not preordained what it might be. We will then read from that page. So you're up at bat. Your turn to hit. Anthony, you pick a number from 1 to 368 and see where it takes us.
Let's go with number 48.
Why is that your number, by the way?
Because every other number in Yankee history is retired, so you have real slim pickings.
There you go.
But you never had it before, huh?
No. But I like 44. I like in the 40s, and I feel like 48 fit.
It fits you.
Yeah.
Well, this is one of my favorite stories from the book, actually. There's a lot of, I call them Bull Durham moments in this book, where Joe's had, and you know this, Anthony, is such a long, winding road to get where he's at in this game that, as he said, the struggle is what makes it all enjoyable. And this is about when he was scouting and he wanted to go see Danny Jackson pitch at Trinidad State Junior College in Colorado. Except the problem was, and this was the last time Danny was going to pitch before the draft, there was a rainstorm that made the field unplayable. So Joe borrowed a trick he learned while playing in semi-pro ball, I guess you'd call it, in Boulder, where they lit the field on fire to make sure the game was playable. So here's the story. Several players grabbed rakes. Others fetched as many gas cans as they could find. And under Madden's direction, they raked the dirt into long furrows, poured gasoline all over it, and struck a match. The infield burned for half an hour. The field was dry enough for the game. Jackson pitched. Madden filed his report. The Angels never had a shot at him. The Royals took Jackson with the first overall pick of the January 1982 draft. It was a sense of duty, Madden says. I got it done, checked all the boxes off, and then I flew back. And of course, I wrote my report. We had no chance at him, but I burned the field myself, paid for the gas. Of course, I expensed it, and had a chance to watch Danny Jackson. I love that story, Joe.
It's all true. I mean, I could see it as you're describing. And I ran into Danny not too long ago. I'm trying to remember where. And I tried to describe the story to him, but he was kind of in a hurry, so I didn't get it all the way out. But yeah, I did it in Boulder. We flooded the field intentionally one time because I was catching too often. And me and Stan Jakubowski and Rod Boxberger flooded it. But then Baldy brought in some helicopters to dry that field off. And then I had a catch that night regardless. And then this day it was in Trinidad, and it was the last game of the year. I had to leave instructionally to go see it. I flew up there, and Larry Himes was the, I don't even know if you've ever met Larry Riz, kind of a taskmaster kind of a guy, but I got up there and I saw the game. Like you said, checked all the boxes. No chance for Danny. Of course, he deserved to be number one. But that's the kind of things you did back then, man. You were just you had to perform the duty at hand. You just cannot call in and say, "Listen, the field was wet. I didn't get a chance to see him. I'm sorry." All that kind of stuff. That just doesn't work. You got to be creative. You got to find with your imagination how to get things done. And again, part of the struggle. Of course, I probably would think about it differently today if a young man said, "Listen, I couldn't do it because of this." I probably would have been fine with it. But I didn't want to take that chance with Larry. So I did what I did, and I could still see sitting in those rickety stands. And I think it was Rick Zimmerman was the manager of that particular team. It's one of those things you do, man, because you, like Tommy said, you got to check the boxes. You don't want to let anybody down.
Yeah, that's the game of baseball, and it's the beauty of the evolvement of the game too. Is I think been amazing. Just hearing all the stories of the old ways, and even Joe, you're a bridge in this game, and talking to you about scouting and when you're in the minor leagues, and then when you're at the Angels, hearing those stories, and just you've seen, and you too as well, Tom, have seen this game probably change every 10 years or so. So. It's really one thing I love about baseball is just the constant evolvement of the game.
And Anthony, it reminds me, and fans see you out there playing as they see major league players, and they see such really finished products that sometimes the work that goes into it is not recognized. And I like to ask major league players this question: as you're coming up, either as an amateur or through the minor league system, how much doubt did you have to work through? Like, can I really make it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's the self-doubt, and the self-talk is huge. Things need to go your way for 99.9% of baseball players. The first picks, the top prospects that get a lot of money in the draft, even things need to go their way as well. They're going to get more of an opportunity, but things need to go their way in order to succeed at the level that we all expect to succeed. So coming up, because being with the Red Sox, it was always I always hear guys saying, "I need to get out of this organization. I'm blocked to the big leagues." And that always stuck with me. And I always told that to guys that I played with, no one is keeping you from the big leagues except yourself. You are not blocked. You are not stuck. You just need to keep playing and keep producing. And one of the 30 teams will want you. Obviously, things need to happen, but there is always that self-talk that creeps in that says, "Oh, this might not work," or "this is hard," but you just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other.
That's great stuff. So Anthony, before we get out of here, give us a kind of a thumbnail sketch of what the rest of your off season is like. We've heard about hopefully a well-deserved vacation for you in Mexico. And when you start getting that body baseball ready, and what the calendar looks like before we get to spring training for you.
So going to enjoy the holidays, and then once, mid-January usually is when I'll start picking up the bat again and start throwing. Usually used to never throw before spring training, but I got sick of my arm being sore in spring training, so I started throwing beforehand. And just going back in, and I've dissected the year last year and kind of my thoughts, and then I would dive back into that again to see my strengths and weaknesses, and start putting it all together to start hitting again, and just that slow ramp up to, I think it's March 30th this year, to be ready for then. And even getting to spring, I'll start questioning myself if I worked hard enough, because you always have guys that are there that are trying to make the team, that are launching home runs and live BP when I'm just trying to make contact, but it's just part of the process of getting ready for opening day.
Well, Joe, I think obviously I know Anthony, but I think our listeners who maybe were not familiar with Anthony can see why this guy is, I call him a manager's dream, a teammate's best friend in a lot of ways. But for a manager, this has got to be the epitome of what you want. You'd take 26 Anthony Rizzos on your ball club.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was demonstrated through this conversation. Anthony and I have enjoyed that relationship from the very beginning. And Tony, thank you for coming on today. Cannot thank you enough. you are one of the glue guys. And that's why when we came up with the concept, I talked to Tom and I wanted to have you on the show as quickly as we could. We couldn't get you to this particular moment, but we'll take it. Also, I just want to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, Emily, and your mom and dad. Please give them my best, and I'm looking forward to our next opportunity to sit down at AVA and have another wonderful meal.
Can't wait. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, brother.
Have a good holiday, guys.
Well, Joe, that was as even more enjoyable than I knew it would be. Anthony is one of the true gentlemen in the game today. And in a lot of ways, he's a role model. If you're not just a kid falling in love with the game, but I actually think if you're a fellow major leaguer, just the way he carries himself. So hopefully our listeners got a chance to peek through that window of who Anthony Rizzo is. Just a treat.
Yeah, I think it all came through. You could just the way he speaks very calmly, very slowly. He described himself extremely well. We had conversations in the on-deck circle when he was sitting in the hole. We had conversations about defense all the time. We had conversations about everything. And it was always an easy conversation. He comes sit in my office. He might be struggling a little bit. He comes, sits down. We go over a few things, whatever it might be that's bothering him. And he would always give me a big hug as he left the room. I do believe he's a very big, he's an important cog with that Yankee team going forward. I thought it was wise for them to try to get him back, and they did. Because like I said, when he walked in there, you can see in the dugout, a little more fun, a little less tension. He brings that. Although, like, listen, when he's playing, he's competing, man. This guy's always competing, but he does it in a non-stressful way. It's a manner with which he could utilize all of his abilities. So there's not anything uptight about him during the course of a game, and I really appreciate that. So I want to continue to wish him well there, and I think he's going to really flourish for the next couple years. A lot of the reasons, too, is it's a much better ballpark to hit in than Wrigley Field is to hit it.
Well, Joe, I'm glad you mentioned that about how it's visible how much fun he has playing this game. If you pay attention and watch a Yankees game, you'll see how many times Anthony Rizzo smiles in the course of a game, whether it's on the rail with Aaron Judge telling a story, whether it's on the field with umpires in the batter's box. Personally, I love to see that. I know it's a very difficult game. It requires intense concentration, focus. He's able to do that at the same time, play with a smile on his face. Little leaguers, as little leaguers, we all imagine that if we got to be big leaguers, we'd have that same attitude. Well, he does it. So kudos to Anthony Rizzo. Joe, you got something to take us out here?
I don't know if I've used this one before. Did I use the one by the Rivers of Babylon by Nelson DeMille?
No, please drop it on us.
See, because this is one of my all-time favorites. I'm a big Nelson DeMille fan. I read a lot of his stuff. Charm School, which is going on right now, it's about Russians coming to the United States and going to this particular school to infiltrate and becoming part of society, etc. But this was by the Rivers of Babylon, and this was a great book, I thought. And in that, he said a society would survive if everyday people did everyday things every day. And I mean, that just comes down to stay in the moment, present tense, etc. I've always, always loved that. I'll write it down. I'll remind myself when things get kind of hectic or a little bit quick, because I do tend to get quick like we all do at times. But we will survive if we do everyday things every day. And I thought that was outstanding.
Perfect. We'll see you next time, Joe.
All right, brother.
The Book of Joe podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.